Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation. We will talk about everything but not the bridge disaster. No bridge calls. It's been done and done and done. There's nothing you can say that hasn't been said 5,000 times. Leave it to the leeches on television to show you the injuries and deaths. The bridge story, big losers, green room generals, presidential candidates, authors and PR agents. They're all losers to the bridge story. The green rooms are filled with the green room generals, I call them, the retired socialist generals who suddenly have seen the light of being anti-war in order to get on CNN, ABC, and I guess even Fox today. You have to be an anti-war general to get on television. It's the way the wind blows, and if Mr. Murdoch knows anything, he knows which way the wind blows, and he knows it blows towards Hillary Clinton and the left wing. Here's an interesting story that caught my eye, and we're going to be covering the homeless leeches of San Francisco in this first segment of the show. And I'll tell you more about how the liberal mayor who has seized guns, seized family values, and thrown them into the bay, along with the bureau rats of San Francisco who feed bums bagels, blueberries, coffee, and hotel rooms, instead of running them out of town at the edge of a nightstick. I would make these lice first clean up the garbage and the feces that they left behind, and then run them out of town on a nightstick. This too shall pass. We will be through with this left-wing insanity one day in San Francisco and the rest of the world, I can guarantee you. But it's not just San Francisco. The whole West is in decline. Here's an interesting story out of Sicily. But mom, the other 61-year-olds get an allowance. Rome. A Sicilian mother took away her 61-year-old son's house keys. She cut off his allowance and she hauled him to the police station because the 61-year-old stayed out late. She was tired of her son's misbehavior. She's a retiree in the central Sicilian city of Caltagirone. She turned him into the police to convince the blockhead to behave properly, according to La Sicilia, one of Sicily's leading newspapers, reported today. The son responded by saying his mother did not give him a big enough weekly allowance and did not know how to cook. My son does not respect me. He doesn't tell me where he's going in the evenings and returns home late, the woman was quoted as saying. He is never happy with the food I make and always complains. This can't go on. Police helped the squabbling mother and son make up, and the two return home together with the son's house keys and daily allowance restored. Punchline. Most Italian men still live at home late into their 30s, enjoying their mama's cooking, washing, and ironing. So if you think it's only San Francisco, you're wrong. Are there any men over 40 still living at home with your mother who would like to call the show? Or are there any mothers with sons over 40 still living with you who'd like to call and complain about it? Or are there any sisters of bums who are living with their mother who'd like to tell us about it? If not, forget about it. Now, the other story that's really a big one are the bums of San Francisco. The bums of San Francisco are infamous in that everyone hates them, except the city bureau rats who live off them and the do-gooders who also make a big, big, big buck off of being do-gooders. Make no mistake about it, the do-gooders do very well indeed. The bureau rats in San Francisco who cater to these bums do very well indeed. That's how they get their jobs. The only losers are the people of the city. Now, homeless are not limited to San Francisco, and I don't like the word homeless. The correct word is bum, filthy bum, filthy, dirty bum, derelict. In past days, they'd be taken to a police station, hosed down, given some clothing and put into a work detail, and then driven out of town. Today, they're held up on a pedestal. Today, the mayor fed them blueberries, coffee, bagels, and even bought them hotel rooms. because they have been defecating in a park, a beautiful park, once beautiful park, Golden Gate Park, leaving hypodermic needles that people have stepped on, and otherwise behaving like the degenerate scum that they are. Now, in a sane society, these degenerate bums, the police would have gone in with nightsticks and hosed them down and then taken them to a work camp and then thrown them out of town after they paid the city back for having lived off the fat of the land. Do you have any idea how much money is being spent on these bums? I have the statistics for every city in the country. In San Francisco, going back to 2004, we know that the city spends at least $108 million a year on direct services to these bums or to the people who are recently or in danger of becoming a bum. Now, that's $108 million direct services. I would estimate there's another $100 million in indirect services to these leeches. And they're held up with as role models by the bureau rats in the city. So the city has finally awakened to the fact that there are filthy, dirty, infected bums in their parks. And because it's an election year, Mayor Annie Toosome Newsom is making believe he's going to do something about the filthy, dirty, degenerate lice in human form. But we all know that it's all window dressing. The only hope is that people are finally saying enough is enough. But you're not going to believe what you're about to hear. There was a local station, ABC 7, that did a report on the efforts to rid Golden Gate Park of the human lice. Listen to O2.
Today, the city of San Francisco is trying a new approach to reach homeless people living in Golden Gate Park. Workers with a program called Project Homeless Connect have gone to the park and set up offices and tents to talk to the homeless and offer them city services. Amy Hollyfield in there is there and joins us now with more. Amy.
Cheryl, the message is still a tough one. You can't sleep in Golden Gate Park. And there are workers all over the park right now telling people that. But they're bringing a gentle side to their message today, because after they tell them that, they're bringing them here to this tent right in the middle of the park, full of solutions and help. People who sleep in the park are used to the police coming around every now and then and moving them along. And full of solutions, many of them say overtly end up right back in the same spot. But this time, it's more than just a game of musical chairs.
No, this is new. This is new. I ain't seen nothing like this before. Nothing. I mean, it seems like they're just now paying attention to it and giving more effort to it.
Instead of expecting the homeless to come find the help has come to them.
Sometimes transportation is hard.
When it's right there. You needed a father with a strap. Right, that's what you needed.
There's a way to get there. There's a way to deal with their belongings. There's a way to deal with their pets. All of those things matter.
You hear this? This is a bureau rat who makes his living by catering to these human lice. Go ahead, play it on. Go ahead.
And a smile.
The particular services that I have, I mean, that I need are complicated because
services,
of my probation situation.
He needs services. I give him a service. I give him services.
To see if they can get me back to Texas. You know, if the effort is there, people, somebody's going to get help.
Sometimes the toughest part of the battle is winning over the homeless. Many tend to be worried
winning
about what
over.
Officials will do to them.
Winning over the Islamo-fascists in Iraq. Winning over the bums in the parks of America. Winning over the degenerates who are destroying everything in this country. Winning them over, huh? How about rolling them over?
So far this morning in this tent, they have found housing for 33 people. And
isn't that wonderful?
Are going back to where they came from, back home, with a one-way bus ticket.
Oh, sure, they're going back home.
They are surprised and encouraged by these numbers.
Yeah, well, you get the picture. Now, I can ask you what you think about it, but it's pointless to say what you think about it. Here is a mayor who violated federal law by passing any Toosome Newsome homosexual marriage. Here is a man who violated federal law by passing three new controversial firearm laws, which are totally illegal. They're patently illegal. He signed anti-gun legislation yesterday in an effort to reduce the city's illegal gun activity. Is he crazy? Yes. Is this guy smoking something? It's alleged. Is he on something? It is thought. He has made it illegal to possess or to sell firearms on city property. He is going to require firearms in residences to be in a locked container or have trigger locks. He is going to require firearm dealers to submit an inventory to the chief of police every 6 months. That all sounds good, you moron, you. But the underworld doesn't comply with rules, you idiot. What you're doing is you're tying up people who want to protect themselves from the underworld, moron. You see, San Francisco has experienced a surge in gun-related violence in the last few years. So what they're doing is punishing people who want to protect themselves against this violence. Classic, socialist, liberal, drug-addled, non-thinking stupidity. So how much does the city spend on bums? Nobody knows. $200 million a year, maybe more. Has it helped? No. It makes them come in like rats to a sugar cane. There is only one solution, and that's the tough solution. You round them up. You take them to baths, city-owned baths, in a distant place outside the city limits. You cleanse them with something to clean the lice off their bodies. God knows who would do this work. You then put them in a work camp, and you make them work for their own food, and you don't give them any counseling. The only counseling is bending over and picking lettuce and picking the grapes. If they can't do it, let them starve to death. And you know what? If you put this on the ballot, 90% of the people in this city would say yes to it. They're fed up with it. Gay, straight, black, white, Asian, immigrant, illegal immigrant. They're bigger leeches than the illegal immigrants, by the way. At least some of the illegal immigrants work. None of the bums work. Do you understand that? So we've got two topics to talk about. Any men over 40 still living at home or with their mother now? Or bums? Bums. The whole country is riddled with bums because of the bums in political office. The drug-addicted bums in nice, pretty suits with perfect ties. WOR New York, Sal, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's an honor. I lived at home till I was 30 years old. I resent my mother for this. My sister, who is a drug addict, lives at home. She's 42, and my mother is raising her bastard child.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you resent that your mother took care of you so long that she basically crippled you by being smothering you, smother love?
Yes, doctor. I got a late start in life. I now have three children.
How did you get out of that? There's such a thing in medical circles called Munchausen mothers who create a sickness in a child in order to weaken the child in order to have the child need them. This is a little variety, of a Munchausen mother. How did you break free of her?
What I did was I continued my college education, and I credit my wife to finally, we did get married, and we got our own place.
Does your mother resent your wife?
Yes, she does. Yes, my mother does.
Oh, so she doesn't even like that you left home.
And my wife is not Italian.
Well, that's even worse to your mother.
And what made things worse is my father passed away 20 years ago, and I was still...
All right, but in Italy, it's a cultural phenomenon that men live at home in their 30s because they like the free room and board and they can, basically be lazy. It's a cultural phenomenon in Italy that's not unusual. We don't hear of that in America, but it's going on in most of the suburbs. You got a bunch of bums living with their mothers, of different religions and races. You know that.
I agree with you 100%. It's detrimental to the culture, and I'm worried about the culture. I want to visit Italy. I've never been there.
There is no Italy anymore. Mosques are going up where there were once churches. The Italy that you're dreaming of is no more. It's a fiction. There's no Italy anymore. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about bums. We're talking about homeless bums. The word homeless is a socialist word, by the way. That implies that these people are entitled to a home. Did anyone give you your home? Did anyone give you a house? Did anyone give you your first apartment? No, you earned it. You had to pay rent. These are fundamentally leeches. They're human leeches living off the welfare state. And now you got the mayor giving them bagels, blueberries, and coffee in order to entice them to leave the park. And go to a hotel room that we're paying for. You hear this? What, you talk about Alice in Wonderland. You talk about an upside-down world. I want to know how much further we can go into this descent into madness called liberalism. What has to happen till the people awaken to what has actually happened to their cities and their country? And I don't know what that trigger is going to be, and I do know it's going to come. There's going to be a right-wing reaction eventually in this city and in this country. Yes, San Francisco will eventually become righted again. It once was a family town. It is now a town filled with the dregs of humanity run it. The dregs of humanity are catered to, and the actual family people are despised, reviled. It's hard to imagine something could happen like this. It's a microcosm of the United States of America. You want to talk about San Francisco values? Here they are. Families are spat upon. Small business owners, spat upon. They cater to the lowest elements in society, the most degenerate, the leech class, and, of course, the big corporations run the city, as you well know. This is all a smokescreen for the moneyed class. Then we're talking about people living at home with their mothers over the age of 30. Apparently, it's very common in Italy. I didn't even know it was still going on. I know that when I studied breastfeeding 30 years ago as a young anthropology student, I was quite interested in learning that there are various cultural norms, and they vary. Some societies the mothers breastfed their children till they were 9, if you could believe it. And, of course, in America, breastfeeding is coming back. It goes through cycles. It is better for a child, but not after the age of, like, 2 or 3. I mean, what do you want to do to the mother? Kill her? We know about colostrum. We know about the immune system. We know about the bonding. But you talk about a guy 61 years old still living at home. I mean, this is like a guy who never got off the breast, you know, psychologically. So you can cripple your child with breastfeeding that goes on too long, let alone what it does to the woman's mind and body. We're not talking about colostrum here. We're talking about something else. And here are some other stories. You know the Iraqi refugees, Sunnis, Shiites fleeing their native Iraq that George Bush can't get enough of? They're now flowing into Detroit, Michigan. Nobody knows how many of them may be terrorists. But you leave it to the government. They'll be sure to let you know after there are body bags. Second lead story on MichaelSavage.com. Dictator praises Hollywood traitor Sean Penn. In my day, Sean Penn would have been arrested for sedition. I don't know how a man who lives in a mansion in Ross, California, can flirt with socialism where Hugo Chavez is seizing property from property owners. Seizing property from property owners. He's anti-Semitic. He's anti-American. And here's a guy living like a prince in Ross, California, just like his father. The red apple doesn't fall far from the red tree. That's all I can say. The man is demented.
Savage.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. No bridge talk today. This is something for the news ghouls. If it bleeds, it leads. If it burns, it earns. It's enough already to capitalize on the disaster. So we're going to talk about the bums of San Francisco, the bureau rats who live off them with their services for the bums. They give the bums services. I'd give them service if I was in charge. Put me in charge of the homeless in any city in America. 90 days, it's cured. There are no more bums in the streets, no more needles in the park, no more panhandling in the streets. It's over. 90 days. And by the way, it solves a bit of the illegal alien problem because they go to work picking the vegetables. Or they starve. That's all. You got a song, Play Mama by Jerry Valley.
Mama,
Jerry
Valley. I miss the days when you were near to guide me.
Oh, I got a migraine from this. Jeez.
Mama.
Right, turn it off, please. Please, that's enough. I ran out as fast as I could. I think I left home young. I don't even remember. I didn't hang around. I mean, I love my mother, but I knew already where it was going to lead if I stayed home. It would have been a hairnet at 40. I would have had a hairnet and a night coat in the house. That would have been it. I had to get out of there. I'm trying to think when I left. I flew the coop very young. What is this? I'm trying to think when I was born. I don't even remember the year. I was gone. I was out of there. Because you can feel a smothering. I used to have a joke with a friend of mine who also had a mother problem. And he unfortunately couldn't really break out of it. He became a heroin addict. I never went near that stuff. He did. He was a very nice guy, but he was weaker than me. And he was also, I think, more hurt by the mother than anyone I knew. So he took that road out. He worked, though. He always worked. He never begged, never borrowed, never stole. And he's dead. I think he passed away now. I don't even have seen him in 30 years. But I used to say to him, when I come home at night and I look for the keys to the house in the mailbox, I deposit, let us put it to you this way, a certain part of my body in the mailbox before walking through the door. I mean, that's what was required. That was the trade-off. When you went in that house, you had to deposit a certain portion of your anatomy in the mailbox, psychologically, you know. Grattan, Connecticut. Is it Groton, Connecticut? I never heard of Grattan, Connecticut. Who wrote this wrong? It's Groton, isn't it? Are you calling from Groton or Grattan, Connecticut?
It's Groton, Connecticut.
Groton, Groton. But it's really, isn't it, where they have the, I'm thinking of New Haven. Aren't you in the New Haven area?
No, New London area.
You're near the submarine base, right?
We got the sub base here in Groton.
Right, okay. Oh, Groton. So what's on your mind?
Well, I have heard you talk about Scungeli in the past.
Oh, a Scungeli call. This is beautiful. Go ahead.
My favorite dish at the local Italian restaurant is zuppa di pesce. And they say they have shrimp, calamari, Scungeli, clams, and mussels. Now, when I've gotten this dish, it's always had what I understood were like baby squid in it, which they're not there anymore. Is that Scungeli or is Scungeli something?
No, Scungeli is from a large clam, and it's very expensive, and it's very, very difficult to find. I had it only once in the last 10 years, and you're never going to believe this. I visited a relative in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills area. And then I went to an Italian restaurant in the middle of nowhere, up on a hill. You won't believe this. It's in a shopping center, a nondescript shopping center in the middle of a hill above, like, Beverly Hills. You'd never believe this. There's a little Italian restaurant owned by a New Jersey family. The grandfather started this. So on the menu, it said they had Scungeli. I said, I got to try it. It was absolutely Scungeli. I called the waiter over. I said, how do you get Scungeli in the middle of nowhere here in L.A.? He said, my grandfather started it. We have all the recipes from New Jersey. That's how we get Scungeli. I mean, why we get Scungeli. No, Scungeli is a giant clam, like a conch.
Cut it into smaller bits. Right?
Well, yes. Yeah, of course it's smaller bits, but you can make anything and call it that. I mean, you can chop up anything and call it that. You know, it's very expensive. It's hard to find. Out here on the West Coast, for example, a lot of guys I know die for abalone. And abalone is not Scungeli, but it's in the same, let's say, genera of Scungeli. Why do you like it? Do you like the taste or the aphrodisiac effect?
Both, I think. Both.
The fact of the matter is that these dishes do have very, very profound effects upon the male anatomy.
I'm in bliss when I have that for dinner.
Well, we won't go any further into it. Thanks for the call, because we're talking about men who live at home with their mother. I don't want to go there. Houston, Texas. Carlos, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, first of all, it's instead of machismo, it's called mamismo, which means men that live at home with their mother. They're actually praising that word, or I guess that way of life. Now, let me go ahead and give you a little spiel about me. I'm 36, but at the age of 33, I finally left home. And maybe I psychoanalyzed myself, but what happened, Mr. Savage, was that my mom never let me go anywhere. When my dad died, I was 10 years old. I grew up with seven sisters. It was either home, church, school. So I figured, you know, what she did was create a baby, because she never let me go to football practice or have a little youth as a young boy. I'm just there with a bunch of women. And the thing of it is that I was scared to leave, because I even blamed her. I mean, maybe I didn't need any therapy.
Well, it's interesting. Yes, the protection comes with a price, which is fear of the outside world and also the sense of being in the womb. It's very hard to leave the nest after a certain age. You know, it's also true if you look at a bird in the nest. You've seen the pictures of a bird trying to break out of an egg, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So the instinct for a caring person is to help the bird break that egg, the egg. I said it to my father. Let's help the little chicken break the egg. He said, no, if you do that, the bird will die. He's got to fight his way out of that eggshell or the bird can't live. Now, it's the same with a human being, Carlos.
It was to the point where she was already telling me get out of the house, and I told her, this is your fault. This is your creation. I ended up getting out, Savage. And
now,
I
wait, you're of a Latino culture?
Oh, yeah, Mexican, yeah.
Okay, but wait, what did you say you call it in Spanish? Repeat it.
No, in Italian, it's called mamismo. Instead of machismo, which is the Italians, they prayed that word.
Oh, mamismo. There's actually such a word?
Oh, yeah, they created that word. Oh, yeah, that is an exact
word. Oh, my God, that's a great one. I never heard that. You see, there's something new every day. It's much mamismo.
Oh yeah, that's the word they use, mamismo. And I think the trend is starting to happen in the Latin culture. But a lot of the Latina women will not stand a man that lives at home with his mother. Hell no.
What? Because they know that he'll wind up sissified or womanized?
Either a little bit of both, I assume.
Well, it sounds like it didn't hurt you any.
No, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all. But it enlightened me a little bit.
Well, you know, Carlos, the thing is that what man doesn't love his mother? I mean, unless she's crazy, how can you not love your mother? You come from her. You got to love her. But at a certain point, you got to let go. And I think it's a crippling thing. And I'm just reading the story that in Italy, they still live at home in their 30s because they get the free room, the cooking, the cleaning, and the catering. How can they ever find a wife? You know what I'm saying? Why should a man ever find a wife if he has everything from the mother except that sex? So he's going to go out and look for basically only sex with a woman, right?
Exactly. She's mad that I never visit her. And I'm like, I just want out. I want out so bad, I got to leave the nest. And she gets upset I never visit her. I miss her cooking, but I don't even get my laundry done there.
You're great, Carlos. I like that guy. Thanks for that call. You know, certain people project a personality on radio. Isn't it amazing? I mean, I do it. People in talk radio, we do it professionally. We're gifted. We have the ability to project our personality through the airwaves, which is a phenomenon when you think about it. It's actually incomprehensible. One day, 1,000 years from now, someone will figure out how it's done, how it was done by certain people in the past, that they could project their personality through a radio speaker where you start to feel if the person's in the house or car with you and you feel you know the person. It's a phenomenon. But rarely does a caller do that. And when they do, it's really something. Oh, here's a call. Oh, this is a beauty. This is a beauty here. Medford, Oregon. Frank, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike. I was a food buyer for about 17 years for a company on the East Coast in Hackensack. This scongeli only is grown in Cape May. Any other type of scongeli is quite rubbery. They use it for soups, et cetera. But the scongeli the Italians use is only grown on Cape May, and it's due to the temperature of the water.
Now, Frank, scongeli is a giant clam. Is that correct?
No, it's a giant snail.
Ugh. A giant snail, no less. It's under the water, though, isn't it?
It's a sea snail.
All right, so sea snail, clam. How do they differ?
Well, I'm not sure exactly.
Look, I'm not an ichthyologist, but I would suspect that the difference zoologically isn't that great between an underwater snail and a clam. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. But in long and short of it, the effects on the eater are profound, are they not?
Well, for me, they are. Yeah.
Are you laughing? So another. What we're talking about with the male thing, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. But you know,
it's not limited to scongeli, by the way. Calamari will do that to a lot of people too, you know.
If you cook it right, that's for sure. You know, I have scoured the United States to find the proper scongeli, and the only place is Cape May.
Isn't that something? Well, that's a little tidbit, but no one knows the origin of a thing where there could be anything that's chopping up in a can, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if you're buying chopped scongeli and it says from China, you're probably eating, let us say, something from a pig snout.
Yeah, and probably grown in a sewer.
Gives no meaning to the word sewer shrimp. I know, Frank. They got lead jewelry now from China, poisoned ginger, poisoned tainted shrimp. What's coming out of China that's good anymore?
But I don't eat the shrimp anymore, that's for sure.
I don't. I stopped. I stopped after that. I did eat shrimp once since that story came out. A local Chinese, I said, I can't eat shrimp anymore. The Chinese, I knew about that 20 years ago. I get it from Mexico. That's what he said. You know what I mean? I don't think he'd lie to me. Well, no, he wouldn't lie. No, a restaurant guy would never lie to you. Never. It's a tough business, you know. Everyone's got to make a buck. I cooked at home last night. I was happy for the first time in months. I swear to God, I mean, I used to do this. Is there anything that could compare to staying at home? And I don't want to get sidetracked into this. It's a radio talk show. But there's a deli that sells pre-made, uncooked, fresh mushroom ravioli. I happen to love it. And I made that with you grate the cheese yourself, this pecorino romano, on a little grater. And I happen to like to grate it a certain consistency. I don't like it too fine. I don't like it too big. I don't like when the strips are too big. I mean, it's unbelievable to eat that with a salad, I got to tell you, and to watch TV and not to have to listen to somebody at the next table you don't want to hear. That's why God invented a stove. Or let's say that's why God helped man invent fire so he could cook at home. Now, look, restaurants are wonderful up to a point if you like. Everyone likes dining out. It's what people do with a little extra money. They want to get out of the house. But there's a lot to be said for cooking at home, too, a very simple meal. A one-dish dinner with a salad, that's already two dishes. A piece of bread, I guess that's three. A grape after is four. It's a four-course dinner. A drink with it is a five-course dinner, by the way. You wouldn't believe it when you really add up the pieces of it. Everything is complicated, particularly things that are simple are very complicated. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked into home cooking. The bums, I guess, need to learn how to take care of themselves, right? Well, you can teach them how to take care of themselves. You put them in a work camp. First, you make them wash themselves. Then you make them pick the vegetables. You do not give them a handout for shooting up in a park during the day. Now, listen to this next piece when I come back on the bums in San Francisco. In the voice of the bureau rats, who you know to be city workers. I call them bureau rats because they're leeches, too. Not all city workers are bureau rats, no leeches. But the ones who cater to the bums are bureau rats. I'll be right back.
This is Graham Hancock on special report from Michael Savage in Hollywood, California, visiting with John Scutili, the reputed mastermind of the film industry. In a rare interview, Mr. Scutili has agreed to talk to us about anger management and how he is attempting to get control over the out-of-control, insane liberals ruling Hollywood today. Mr. Scutili, thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview.
What do you mean agreeing to an interview? Who the hell are you? I didn't agree to anything. What do you mean agree? Who is this guy? How did he get in here?
Mr. Scutili, I'm Graham Hancock. I'm on special assignment.
There's girls in here. Don't use such dirty words.
I'm sorry, sir, but the Savage Nation is interested to know how you are going to get control over the hippie pinko weirdos here in Hollywood, California.
Oh, that problem. Yeah, we got a big problem. It's killing the business. We had a good thing going here for 80, 70, 80 years. And these nuts, these potheads.
Really?
These perverts, they went nuts here. They ruined a good thing with this attacking the president, attacking the war. You don't know what to do with them.
Mr. Scutili, we understand that you've initiated a anger management program to help them deal with some of these vitriolic attacks on our military and president. How do you make this anger management program work?
Anger management in my day, anger management came out the barrel of a gun. But those days are over. The only anger manager we had was a Smith & Wesson.
I'm shocked.
A 32. It was the best anger management tool ever invented.
Mr. Scutili, you're saying that you use guns to control people?
Well, what do you think I'm saying, moron? I gotta spell it out for you.
Well, what other tools did you use, Mr. Scutili?
Other tools? Truncheons, fists, brass knuckles, meat hooks, car bumpers, whatever. Those days are over. We're talking a long time ago. Now everything's nice and gotta be with the psychology. What we use it today is a special kind of anger management.
I see.
If they like boys, we give them boys in a motel room down in Palm Springs for 5 days in a row. They like girls, we put them in a motel room with the girl 5 days.
Oh.
End of the 5 days, if their anger isn't subdued, not all. We don't know what to do.
So, Mr. Scutili, how do you feel about someone like Susan Sarandon, who seems to have complete contempt for the military and our president? How does she still get to be in high-profile movies?
How? Because everyone there thinks the same way she does. Anyone thinks different doesn't work there. That's how. What do you mean how? It ain't hard to figure out. It's all controlled by whack job liberals.
Really?
What do you think, I like him? I don't like him any. You think I like the hookers that I got in my cat houses? I don't like them either. You work with who you have to work with. I'd do a deal with the devil if I had to.
So, Mr. Scutili, what do you think of someone like Alec Baldwin saying that he was going to leave America if Bush was elected and then staying?
A phony through and through. He plays tough guys. Let me tell you something. He's a fraud. I think he's lighting the loafers, if you know what I mean.
I understand, Mr. Scutili, that you know Goldie Hawn. Now, what is your take on her?
She had the best keister in the business when I first met her. In the 60s, she had a ass that could turn every head in the restaurant. Today, it's collapsed, so she became a big lefty. The loony is the high of the liberal thing. I don't know where to relate. I don't understand it. What a she had. Come on, you couldn't eat when you saw it.
And what about Richard Gere? I understand people are not too fond of him. What do you attribute that to?
One word. Furry creatures.
Now, Mr. Scangeli, what do you think about the actor Dustin Hoffman? I've heard you refer to him as Ratso Rizzo. What do you think about him?
What do all these little Jews want to play a gangster for? What, they got a complex? Who they think they are? Bugsy Siegel, every one of them. Every one of them under 5'5 wants to play a wise guy. What's with them?
How do you feel about the actor Richard Dreyfuss, eh?
Dreyfuss? I think his father ran a seltzer route in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bottle don't fall far from the truck.
I understand that Woody Allen is over in France pandering to them. What do you think about that?
Woody Allen, I think the father ran a bagel store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bagel don't bounce far from the cart.
Yes, and finally, Mr. Scungili, what do you think about the actor Tim Robbins, eh?
Tim Robbins, another one. His father owned a candy store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bar don't fall far from the wrapper.
So, Mr. Scungili, how do you personally control your anger towards all of these crazy people?
Hey, who gave you the right to ask me anything, you little schmuck? I ain't got no anger. Not anger with me. It's a nature. It's a nature.
I see.
Who the hell do you think you are, you rat bitch? You
shocking. So, Mr. Scungili, in summary, if all of your anger management techniques don't work, what are you going to do?
Teach. That's what we're going to do. Send them to Harvard. They can all take a job teaching at Harvard or Berkeley. Let them go to hell, all of them.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My exclusive interview with John Scungili from Hollywood, California. Back to you, Michael Savage.
Written, produced, directed, and acted by Michael Savage. That was funny. I haven't heard that in a year, but it fit right into the Scungili conversation. I laughed. You know, the test of a good piece that you did a while ago is to listen to it after a long period of time. And if it's still, you get a kick out of it, it's funny. I haven't done a good one in a long time with David. David Rubin is the straight man, but you got to admit the writing was terrific. And the voice was good. I can't do that voice anymore. I would lose it. I'd blow it for weeks. All right, when I come back, more on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Mama's food, it's so good to me. Her meatballs have the spice that make them taste so nice. A little wine after we dine makes you feel so doggone fine. My mama's a cooking, it's so good to me.
It is the Savage Nation Part 2 today. We're talking about in Italy, apparently, a lot of men are living at home in their 30s. We're talking about people who are calling in who either lived at home in their 30s, till their 30s until they finally got thrown out or left. Or relatives of bums who are still living with the mother. We're talking about the bums in San Francisco who either never had a mother or a father and now have you as their mother and father. The most indulged class in America are the most useless people in America. The junkies, the alcoholics, the perverts, the criminals living in the parks and on the streets. And, of course, the absolute wrong message and the wrong treatment is catering to them, as they're doing in the city, by giving them bagels and coffee and blueberries and setting up a tent and taking them to hotels instead of kicking them out of the city and making them work before they leave to pay back what we gave them, $200 million a year. $200 million of taxes a year to support these wastrels. And they can't get enough of services, the bureau rats in this city, who, frankly, they're the leeches, too. That's why they want services, mental health care. You hear this? No, we didn't have bums in my day. We had Bowery bums on the Lower East Side. Yes, that is true. They were alcoholic stew bums, and they slept in the gutter. And I don't think I didn't grow up around them. I did. Nobody hurt them. Nobody spit on them. You know, if some of them wanted to work, we took them in and we bought them a meal and bought them a coffee. We let them hang around in the store to get out of the cold. And come the winter, they were never in the gutter because they would have frozen to death in New York. They didn't lay in the gutter. They went to a flop house for a dollar or two a night down there on the Bowery. And that was then. They weren't all over the city like rats and leeches. How did this happen? It happened because of stupid liberalism, the same way Islamofascism is spreading around the globe, because we're not tough enough on them. It's all the same thing, law and order. Locally, law and order internationally. And the day we can no longer impose our law on them, we're going to lose the order in this country, which we've already lost, by the way. We're waiting for the pendulum to swing. I don't see it swinging so fast yet. I think it's going to go so far to the left after this election. We're going to be like Chavez. We're going to have brutal and criminal taxation. We're going to have the restriction of Christianity in this country. We're going to have our rights flushed down the toilet by these left-wing drug addicts called mayors, who are all on drugs, so far as I can tell, all secretly getting prescriptions for Prozac from Canada under somebody else's name and pretending that they're normal and straight. Let me tell you, we're being run by a bunch of sick people, and we got to stand up to these sickos. And now you have the issue of the Italians at home. You got the issue of the bums in the streets. So we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it until eventually the country wakes up to tough love and law and order again, and we get this country back. It is not going to happen soon. We're going to have to go through a far-left experiment with terror. We're going to either have Hillary or another terrorist of the left, and then America will wake up to the disaster of socialism and feminism and pacifism. And if there's still a country left, we'll finally have a right-wing revolution, and we might get this country back. But get ready for a long swing to the left with the sickest and the most demented people running this country further into the ground. Now let's move on. Tampa, Florida. David, you're first up in this hour. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. It's so nice to talk to you. It's been a long time. I've listened a long time. Anyway, I'm Italian, 100%, about 46. But I became a mamone. That's a word from Italy, or mama's boy, mamone, or mamaluke. Three times, one because of a divorce. Another time, my mother needed some help with my grandmother. And another time, because she wanted to be close to my daughter. So I thought I'd chime in and just let you know.
So you moved out a year ago?
Moved out a year ago, and I bought my home, and I'm you know, but each time I went home, the rule was you got to work. You can't stay, you know, you can't lay around. You got to work. So, and of course.
So even when you lived at home with your mother to 45, you were a working man.
Absolutely. There's even.
Give me the word again. I know I heard Mama Luke. What was the first one?
Mamone.
Mamone. Mamone.
Yeah, mamone. Yes, that's from Italy. Now, Italy and the Italians in Italy and America is different. You know, we're more progressive. We will switch roles. The woman can go out. We'll stay home with the kids. In Italy, it's roles are very well defined. And men really don't like to do what they call, you know, women's work.
Well, why is it, if that's the case, if the roles are so defined, man and woman, masculine, feminine, padre and madre, why then is it okay for a man to live at home until his 30s on his mother?
Well, the Italian mother is nurturing. She buys clothes for her son. They like multi-generational homes with grandmom and lots of kids around. They don't, you know.
But wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's quite beautiful. I think one of the tragedies of modern society is the isolation that most of us live in.
Exactly. And but Italy, it seems if you're stuck in a role, you know, most, I don't know about the younger generation, but the older generation, they can't even, you know, really cook. They have to have a
a woman around to cook. I cook.
Let me ask you something. Cooking by men is very acceptable in the Italian culture and in many other cultures. So how does that jibe with the mother as the provider? How did that originate? In other words, if the roles are so clearly defined, the man is man, woman is woman, blah, blah, blah. So how is it that men cook in Italy?
Well, men cook. All the men I've known had restaurants, but when they got home, they didn't cook. You know, it was a role thing. It's sort of a, maybe it's the space, the location. It's mother's home, mother's the boss.
But don't you miss your mother, truthfully? You've only been out a year. You're 46 years old. You're living alone in a house. You don't feel isolated and like you're going crazy?
No, I'm on the phone every day with her.
At least you're honest. You're on the phone. All right. No, you got to expect that. But how did it affect your romantic life?
It does, being at home. Because if I'm out, oh, who you been sleeping with? What are you doing? Oh, your life's going down the tubes. All right, Mom.
Did she ask you who you were out with? Like, were you with a girl tonight? Did she ask you that into your 40s?
I'm living in her home. I have to respect that. And
so she was still treating you like she was infantilizing you?
Well, no. And of course, she just nosy. I think there's a difference, you know?
So she was just curious, that's all. But she didn't care that you went out with a girl, did she?
No. And you know.
Did she enjoy hearing about it a little bit, like that you had a good time?
Absolutely. But, she doesn't want me to stay out all night and, you know.
Yeah, she's still treating you like a kid. But, you know, in a way, it keeps you sane. It kept you straight. Well, it doesn't sound like it harmed you in any way.
Yeah, we've had the arguments about it, you know, about that. And
Where was your father all these years? He died?
No, my father's still at home. It's just my parents were, not too well off. So anytime I went.
So she was the dominant figure. Your mother was a dominant figure and still is. Your father was like in the background.
Yes, and my father's very quiet and passive and, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, I hear there are men like that.
My father was very hard-nosed, you know, very tough. If you forgot your key on a winter night, that's it. You stay out, you know.
Who did that to you?
My dad. So my dad said, look, we're more Americanized. I really don't want to raise you the way I was raised because I'm first generation. His father was really, really tough and didn't put up with anything.
So in other words, instead of risking damaging you with that toughness, he just withdrew altogether.
Well, he hit me a few times, but he...
Not hard. A few times with a 2x4. Didn't hurt too much.
Yeah, but
see, this sense of humor is so lost. It's so hard to make a joke like that with an average person. They don't even get the joke.
Of course.
Anyway, you're a good-natured soul, David. I really appreciate you joining the Savage Nation. So I said to you earlier, yesterday rather, that when you listen to this program, it's like being part of a community. You know, it's not just politics. It's really like life 101 for a lot of people who are devoid of family or miss the family or wish they had a family. In many ways, this radio show is like a family for them. And I'm sort of the MC of it all. That's what it comes down to. I mean, I do politics and you know where I stand, but when I let go of the politics and we just do this, it's another way of relating to all of the millions of people who've come to enjoy the Savage Nation. So we'll come back momentarily right here on this program. Be here.
Savage.
We sent people to shelters today. We sent people to hotels where they get their own room. We're sending people outward bound to San Luis Obispo and other places. We're sending.
You're listening to a bureau rat in the city of San Francisco who makes his living by catering to homeless leeches, giving them blueberries, coffee, bagels, hotel rooms. You hear this? They're no different than the bums. They all cost us money. Here's two quick stories. Sperm bank babies. Two toddlers born by in vitro fertilization using their father's frozen sperm years after his death are entitled to a share of the family fortune, a Manhattan judge, so-called, has ruled. In a landmark decision, surrogate Renee Roth said the grandchildren of a man identified only as Martin B. should be able to collect cash from his trust funds, even though the in vitro process hadn't even been conceived of when the trusts were formed in 1969. You hear this? This is unbelievable. Here's another one. FBI drug standards lowered for hiring. Aspiring FBI agents who once dabbled in marijuana use won't be barred from getting a job with the elite crime-fighting agency, which has loosened its drug policy amid a campaign to hire hundreds of agents. Now, you know why this is going on, don't you? Here's a secondary disaster as a result of the war in Iraq, the endless war of George Bush, the war he will not end. And I'll tell you what that is. You've got thousands of the most able-bodied men in the country in Iraq tied up with one tour after another. These are the men from whom the FBI would have hired people, local police departments would have hired from. And because our best men, our toughest men, our bravest men, who would normally go into police work or the FBI are over there, stuck over there in endless rotations, they're having to lower the standards. And you wait and see. We're going to pay for this for 100 years, 50 years. We're going to pay for this. Now, you'll read this tomorrow from some blogger. You know, he thought of it himself. Ooh, write up a story now. I got another idea from Savage, that right-wing nut. But they steal the idea, and then they make it theirs. Then who's the nut, then? So here we're talking about all this stuff. FBI drugs standard lowered for hiring. And other stories. I'll give you the news you won't get there. Look at my website. Dictator praises Hollywood traitor Sean Penn. Democrats embrace gay agenda. Two-thirds of all prostate surgery unnecessary. This is a new test that you have to read about on my website. A new way to identify a particularly deadly form of prostate cancer so it could save tens of thousands of men from prostate surgery. Then there's a gruesome picture that I contemplated not putting up. They're caning prisoners in Malaysia. They're beating them with a stick. They pull their pants down and beat them. I want you to see what goes on in Malaysia. It's another peaceful nation of Islam type. Secretary of Defense Gates says U.S. underestimated depth of Sunni Shiite divisions. You hear? I could have told him there was two mad dogs killing each other. Now put your hand in the pit bull ring. You're going to lose your hand, Mr. Gates. I could have told that to Mr. Rumsfeld 5 years ago, too, that the Shiites and the Sunnis, you didn't hear about that in the San Francisco cafes when you were thinking of becoming defense secretary. No one told you they were killing each other since the year 1200 and something. So you put our boys in harm's way, and if they do their job too well, you persecute them. And you go on to a job in the Defense Department. Only 358 copies of my book, Healing Children Naturally, remain of that printing. Grab it. Only 246 copies of the DVD Freedom of Speech Award remain. Grab it. And on the bottom of the Alzheimer's book, only 845 remain of this printing and of this run. And I lowered the price for the summer, and they're flying out. And I'm glad for you, not for me. I'm glad for you, not for me. Here's another story on the website. The end of tolerance in Amsterdam. Moroccan-born mayor dispenses tough love to immigrants. That's what it's going to take here. We're going to have to get a rational foreigner who became an American citizen to rein in these out-of-control illegal aliens. And we're going to have to get a moderate Muslim to rein in the out-of-control troublemakers in this country who are hiding behind religion while plotting to do us harm. By the way, KNEW, San Francisco, Giovanni, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, sir? Basically, coming back from Italy, the family units are just so similar to our own right now. Women are working, you know, men are having to pick up the kids and getting preparing dinner before they come home. It's very similar to what we have right here in California.
The breakdown. You were in northern Italy, though, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can't. Yeah, it's probably true. The West is pretty much the same everywhere. Everyone wears the same clothing. You know, they ape the same dumb entertainers. And the mores of Western civilization are more or less the same, you know, shrugging off homosexual marriage like it doesn't mean anything, eschewing Christianity, saying it's a bunch of crap for old people. And look at what's happening as a result.
Well, family unit's still pretty intact. That part of it's different. But the who's cooking is definitely...
Is there respect for the elderly in Italy?
I'm sorry, sir?
Is there respect for the elderly in Italy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially not here, not in America. The elderly are put on a shelf. They're reviled. They're hated here. You know, if you look at that people with the surgery they're getting, nobody wants to look their age. Everybody wants to look like a kid forever. And there's a revulsion of people who are older in this country, a revulsion. Instead of a reverence, as there is in China, by the way, even to this day, at least let's say in rural areas, there is a revulsion for the elderly instead of a reverence. You know that. Now, is society better off for that, or is it worse off for that? I'll let you decide. All I know is that I have my own opinions on it. We'll move on to different topics, all the news of the day.
Savage.
We talked about the bums. I mean, there's plenty of stories on the website. If I don't get to all the news of the day, you got it up there on michaelsavage.com. Here's another one. CAIR, that troublesome Muslim front group, is threatening to sue the Young Americas Foundation for hosting an author that they don't like. You hear this? So they're now trying to use our courts to quench free speech. Sean Penn, the Hollywood troublemaker, leftist, praised by Venezuela's dictator, anti-Semite, anti-American Hugo Chavez. This is unbelievable to me, how anyone would go to this man's movies. It's incomprehensible that a man who lives in a mansion in Marin County, California, would think that socialism is good for his children. Is incomprehensible. But then again, there's a phrase for it. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Minnesota bridge collapse. Sad. There's nothing I could say about it. Condoleezza Rice urges deeper Israeli-Palestinian talks. Yeah, put the knife in deeper into the Jews. That should work. The geniuses who brought you Iraq are now going to bring you a Palestinian state, which is as intelligent right now under the terms of what's going on as invading Iraq was. Makes as much sense. Let's see. This story is garbage. Pistol-packing Inkster judge, not interested. I'm looking at stories. Fisher-Price to recall nearly a million toys made in China. You heard about that because the paint contains excessive amounts of lead. Didn't hurt me any. I grew up with lead-based paint in the walls in the Bronx. Somehow I got two master's degrees, a PhD. I've written bestsellers. I have a radio show. My memory's as sharp as a tack. I stuck my mouth against the wall to talk to my cousin through a hole in the wall. I don't know. I think it's a lot of it's overblown. Insects give science clues to antisocial problem. No comment. Man allegedly admits to sexually molesting cows. Man caught in a dairy barn. No comment. Hezbollah says we would have surrendered if the war lasted 10 more days. No comment. Old man is basically committing suicide for Israel. 1-800-449-8255. Don't call on any of these topics. The only good news there is that the General Motors had a profit, which is really nice. I'm glad. I mean, I have nothing in it. They don't advertise on my show because they think that there are more lesbians than there are conservatives who drive cars, but I can't help them if that's what they think. They figure there are more lesbians to drive General Motors cars than there are conservatives, and I don't know, maybe one day I'll throw a boycott at them. They keep it up. They'll find out that these boycotts work in two directions, and then they can go and troll for the market that they want. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? Cops. The FBI is now lowering the standards I told you about already. You could have smoked pot and they'll hire you anyway. Why? Because everyone that they would normally hire who could be a good FBI agent is in Iraq. Smaller pool of prospects contributing to the high disqualification rate. The prolonged Iraq war, Mr. Bush, has snapped up thousands of candidates who might have been drawn to law enforcement. So now they can now cull from gangbangers. I mean, you got to fill the ranks somehow. And if the good guys are over in Iraq, sort of as a conscripted army, you know, it's like a press gang. We have a press gang in Iraq now. A lot of the guys feel like they were just pressed off the street and forced to fight. I know you're not supposed to say that if you're a conservative. You have to stick to the party line. You're a great American. You're a great American. Well, go over there and fight, you fraud, you great Americans, you on ABC. Go ahead. Go over there and put on a uniform. You'll see what a great American you look like. You frauds, you egging people on to go fight, you fakers, you. Libel suit leads to destruction of books. Cambridge University Press has agreed to destroy all unsold copies of a book by two American authors, Alms for Jihad, following a libel action brought against it in England. Did you hear this? The Saudis are now suing American authors in England because they don't like it, so they have the money to burn. That's where we're going now. The Saudis are taking over the world with a little help from a friend in the White House if they walk around by the pinky. U.S. gives Palestinians $100 million in security aid. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense with the missing guns, and they were supposed to give up their guns in order to have peace with Israel. These are the good Palestinians. It turns out they gave up 1911 Mausers. London van explodes during police chase, but it was not terrorism related. A van being pursued by police in Liverpool exploded and burst into flames, killing the driver and injuring five police officers. But the police said that it was not terrorism related. What was it? A bottle of liquor blew up? What was it? A soccer thug it blew up? F-14 airplane parts sold to the public. The Pentagon sold more than 1,000 aircraft parts that could be used on F-14 fighter jets, a plane flown only by Iran, and after announcing it had halted sales of such surplus, government investigators said. Don't you have faith in the government that it knows what countries to invade, it knows how to which parts to sell, and it helps with Katrina? It's a wonderful operation. Okay, so we're the people who pay for it all. What do you want me to do about it? Nothing. But still, we can talk about it. Still free to talk. We haven't been sued yet to stop us. That's coming under Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and her gang will eliminate free speech in this country, as sure as I'm sitting here. And the liberals will cheer right on, all power to the people. Go, girl, go, girl, go, girl, as they usher in fascism. Las Vegas, Nevada. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, have you ever considered selling stock on yourself? What I'm talking about, you know how David Bowie got the $50 million incorporated himself? I've been listening to you for like 4 years, and if you would sell stock on Michael Savage for $15 a share, I guarantee you we would buy 1,000 shares.
Well, here's the question, though. I mean, I'm not allowed to do that on the radio, but let me ask you a question. What product am I selling?
You know, you're selling information to so many people that we hear so many things from so many things from other sides of the story, and you know, it's amazing. You know, we don't always disagree, but when you at least...
Oh, wait. So you're not investing in a product then. The product has no value then. No dollar value.
Yeah, but if you were taking over and running things, it would, your stock would soar just like the market.
Well, no, listen, I was approached 5 years ago to go public in that manner by a stockbroker. He said, you have books, you have tapes, you know, this and that. I said, yeah, but I don't want to deceive anybody, and I don't want anyone to invest in me for one reason. I'm a human being. What if I got sick and couldn't work anymore? Where's the value in the stock?
But I think it would be a sound and good investment. And I just want
It could be. Yes, I could do this. I'm not that business oriented, nor am I greedy. I'm not avaricious. I got to tell you something. There's a lot of things I could do that I could make a lot more money than I'm already making. But I'm not avaricious, Bob. You got to understand I have a certain amount of income I want, and I have it, and that's the end of it. What do I need more money for? I'm being taxed to death as it is. They're taxed, so I'm going to give more money so they can give out more needles to bums. I'm going to give out more money so they can give it to perverts to teach how to put condoms on a cucumber in the schools. That's what I got to do. If I ever told you what I pay every week for the privilege of living in the state of California, you'd puke. And where does the money go? My roads are broken. My bridges are deteriorating. The police are starved to death for money. The teachers are starved to death for money. Where's the money going? They're burning it in Sacramento. I don't want to give the government any more money. I don't want any more money. How's that? But thanks for the 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-MichaelSavage.com. Hey, I have an offer for an Italian restaurant owner in San Francisco tonight. Since I'm talking about Scungili, I put it up on the website. If there is an Italian restaurant in San Francisco that has Scungili, call this show. Tell me you have it, though. Don't make it up. And I'll let you plug your restaurant, and I'll come in tonight. How's that? I got two friends I'm taking to dinner to talk about my movie. But then the listeners will know, and then we'll get the idiots. So how do we deal with this? Do it anyway. I may not go in tonight, but at least I'll know where they sell Scungili for another night. I'm in the mood tonight for I'm going to break my fast and have wine. It's August. I can drink wine again. I can't drink wine for 4 months. The allergies come. I cannot touch wine. March, April, May, June. Just July, I come out of the illness. It's awful. A third of the year. Would you believe it? I'm so sick. You don't realize that I'm functioning while ill. You know, I don't complain. I don't make an issue out of it. I'm almost debilitated 4 months a year with allergies. I don't take medication because it'll affect my mind. So I have to work. I want to work. But I do the 3 hours and I'm dead. 21 hours, I'm dead. But I'm so oriented toward this program, I do it. That's all. And I do it because I love this audience and I love this show. I live for it. 21 hours a day, I fly like an eagle. I'm sorry, 3 hours a day I fly like an eagle. 21 hours a day I crawl like everyone else, like a mote in the mire. And I don't mean M-E-Y-E-R. A mote in the mire. Great phrase. You probably have to look it up. It's a terrific phrase. A mote in the mire. So many wonderful English phrases have been lost from the language because of the debasement of the language as a result of the media catering to the lowest common denominator, illegal aliens and illiterates, basically. That wonderful words and phrases have been dropped from our vocabulary in order to cater to the illegal aliens and the illiterates. It's amazing to me. Why don't we start bringing the society up by talking a little bit better and bringing in a few different phrases every once in a while? You know, you won't be accused of being an elitist. Don't worry about it. You know, you won't be thrown out of your favorite club if you use an English word every once in a while. I speak 50 words of English. You know, you ever hear that rap song I did? Don't play it. I don't want to hear it. That's the language level in America. My dog knows more than 50 words of English. I speak 50 words of English. That's the new standard. If you speak more than 50 words of English, they consider you a traitor to the common man. You hear this? 1-800-449. So what else is the FBI going to look for? Pot smoking in FBI is okay? That's terrific. That's really great. What else now? Remember, they wouldn't hire gays in the old days. Now, you know why they wouldn't hire homosexuals? He crossed the line now. That's healthy. That's better than your grandmother. That's better than your grandfather. Two women sleeping with each other. Two men doing to each other what animals don't do to each other. Ooh, how dare you say that? How dare I say it? Because I'm sick and tired of the propaganda, the brainwashing. That's how dare I say it. And let me tell you something. There was a reason J. Edgar Hoover didn't hire homosexuals. You want to hear the reason? Because they knew that it was a weakness. It was not a strength. And they knew that a man could be blackmailed if he was gay and more easily blackmailed than a straight guy. And that's why they banned them. Yeah, I heard that he was a cross-dresser. You know what? Maybe we need another cross-dresser to head the FBI because he did a fabulous job as a cross-dresser, incidentally. Maybe we ought to go and look for a good cross-dresser to run the FBI. We might have a great FBI next time. And you, by the way, you get a cross-dresser to run the military, as far as I'm concerned, if he could finally end the war in Iraq. I wouldn't care what he did in his private time, incidentally. It's his business. Portland, Oregon. Mike, KXL, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I was saying that if these guys are still passing all the psychological exams and they're still passing with, all their schooling that they've done, and if they've only done it a couple, three times, is there still going to be a problem with that? I'm just looking at the fact that some of these...
Well, all right. I smoked pot as a kid. I did. I admitted it on this show many times. I don't make an issue of it. I smoked marijuana in college and afterwards. I don't deny that. So what now? It says the Bureau's pot smoking standard in place for at least 13 years was revised after internal debate about whether the policy was eliminating prospects because of drug experimentation. The policy disqualified candidates if they had used marijuana more than 15 times. How would you know if you used it more than 15 times? That I don't understand.
Well, I'm just looking at the fact that if they're still passing all the psychological exams.
No, I agree with you. To me, it's not a big deal. It's a matter of whether they've not smoked it for how many years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And if they have the police backgrounds or the police science knowledge from college and stuff, then that should still...
All right, it's about whether you smoked last week and lied about it. They said it's not whether you have smoked pot 4 times or 16 times 20 years ago. Well, I would say that you shouldn't have had any marijuana in your system for 5 years if you're going to work for the FBI, because marijuana stays in your lipid cells, and it affects your thinking for many, many years after you kick it, by the way. That's a medical fact. It's a medical fact. Everybody knows that who studies anything to do with pharmacology. What you did... beyond the 5 years, I don't think should matter with regard to marijuana, truthfully. I thank you. But it's a road now down the hill, you know. It's a downhill road. What's next? Tell me what's next. The transsexual FBI agent? Maybe they have them already. After all, San Francisco just took a transsexual who runs a sex store and made the he-she the head of the police commission. Do you think that's sane? I'm asking you. Do you think that's sane? No. No, not sane. Anthony in Chicago, he thinks I'm too harsh on the homeless. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Savage? It's an honor to speak with you. Well, anyways, my topic is I'd like to know why you're so harsh on the homeless.
Well, because they're not homeless. They're bums. They're lazy bums. And they're living off the taxpayer, Anthony.
Good going to do? Let him die in the street? I was.
I don't know. I don't know. What would you do with him? Bring him blueberries and coffee and muffins in the morning and give him a hotel room to shoot up in?
Well, you know, it's better than to send troops over here to get blown up in.
Well, don't bring up troops over there. They're over there because they volunteered. That's why they're over there. They were not drafted. So that's A. Let's put that out of the picture. The people who are in the gutter are there because they're weak of character or they've been kicked in the gutter by bad circumstances. And we're spending billions of dollars a year and nothing's getting better. It's getting worse. So you want to give them care, give them the proper care to bring them back on their feet. And that would be homeless camps where they work every day in the fields picking the lettuce, picking the grapes, or they don't eat at night. How's that? Does that work for you?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I was in a situation where I was homeless because of circumstances, and unfortunately I had to get assistance, but I crawled my way out, graduated from college, and here I am, you know, at film school at that. I didn't want to mention that because I'm sure you have.
I understand, but what about a city like this that spends $200 million a year? They're shooting up in the parks. They're leaving hypodermic needles. They're crapping in the park. They're aggressive panhandling. And the city goes out, instead of rousting them out with nightsticks, they're giving them blueberries and coffee in the morning and muffins. You think that that's a sane policy, catering to people like this?
No, but what are you going to do? You want them to be the Gestapo and start going in there busting down shelters and figuring out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Don't bring up Gestapo because you don't know what you're talking about. There's no death camps in the United States of America. We are talking about something entirely different than a death camp. Let's not rush already to Nazi Germany. The American people have had enough with these bums in the street. If a man refuses to work, why should I feed him?
Not everybody who is homeless refuses to work. Sometimes there's situations that...
All right, fine. So you're saying that as a guy who was down on his luck, you would have taken any kind of job. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would...
Would you have worked in a slaughterhouse, for example, if someone said, we're not feeding you, unless you get up in the morning, we're going to bus you to a slaughterhouse in Chicago, and you're going to work 10 hours a day in that slaughterhouse, and then we'll give you a little cot at night in a room, and we're going to give you some food. Would you have said, no, I'm not going to do it?
You had to say you were going to do it because to stay in a homeless shelter, you have to be out at like 6 in the morning, and you have to be in at 9. I mean, what else? Of course you're going to go out and work. Okay, some don't.
All right, so what I'm saying is tough love is what would have worked better for you than... See, we were talking about boys who lived at home with their mothers in Italy into their 30s. And what that does is it makes the boy weak. It weakens him. He can't go out on his own. It's the same with the homeless. There's a theme here. You can't cater to the people who will not work. You got to force them to work. In order to pay for their room and board, they have to provide a service to society. How hard is that to figure out? Thanks for the call. I'll be back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. We are posting bathing beauties for you on michaelsavage.com. It is, my dog is Teddy, right? Teddy has a cousin named Cash who lives in Los Angeles, a cockapoo. That's the dog's breed. And there's a picture of him with 9 rock star girls at a rock star party. And it's right over a picture of Scungili. You put 2 and 2 together. We got up a picture of a Scungili shell, you know, and so you know. And then there's the rock star girls above it. You could figure out 2 and 2 together. It's an inside joke. That's all. We got to make people laugh. And I've had no callers yet from Italian restaurant owners. Well, wait a minute. Maybe they have scungili in a Chinese restaurant. I don't know. Maybe they sell it too. Also a mollusk. It's a mollusk, a gastropod, Buccinidae, found in more temperate waters than conch, with a darker meat and stronger flavor, perhaps less sweet. I don't even know if I want to eat it tonight. I might have a veal chop. I don't know. As things go on in this world, meat starts to look better to me than it ever did. You know, with the sauce of the scungili and the calamari and the shrimp. I had a blue nose. I felt bad for the fish. They're getting me so crazy I look at a fish now. I'm afraid to eat it. I see its ancestors in the plate, the eggs. I don't know. They're driving me nuts. Who ever thought about a fish before in a plate, that it was happy in the water and it was fished in the net? Now I'm guilty for looking at a fish in the water. I'll wind up like one of those Jains in India with a net in front of me, afraid of inhaling a microbe if I keep this up. The left is insane, and they're driving us all crazy. I think I'm going to have steak and eggs.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. Is the Savage Nation. If only Ted Stevens had taken that money for the Bridge to Nowhere and it had been spent in Minneapolis. But anyway, we're not going to talk about the bridge. We're going to talk no more, I think, about the homeless and Mama's Boys, Mama Luke's, whatever. I want to talk for a minute about what a sane and civilized society we are. You know, there was this scandal last week of that guy Vic and the dog fighting. That is nothing compared with what they do in Korea and in China. They eat dogs. And moreover, they still beat dogs to death before they kill them. I mean, they kill them by beating them to death because the psychos in Korea and China who do this believe that the fear and adrenaline make the dog's meat more tender. Of course, dogs know when another dog is being killed. Dogs are very sensitive. And there are dog meat markets in Seoul, Korea. Dogs are kept chained up in cages awaiting slaughter. And a person comes in and makes a personal selection. This is what goes on in Korea today. And if you say, well, it's rare, you're wrong. There are 2.31 million dogs killed every year for food in Korea. Now, we don't know how many are killed in China. These are brutal, barbaric cultures. Make no mistake about it. Then there's a trend away from it amongst the younger Koreans and the younger Chinese. Don't get me wrong on that. But these are fundamentally barbaric, primitive societies. And when you hear these idiots in America talking about cruelty and this and that, they don't know what they're talking about. And they have no idea what's coming in this country if they continue to break down the will of the police and the military and the moral fiber. They have no idea they're going to wind up like dogs in a cage themselves if they keep this up. At least that's my editorial for the day. Young Koreans turn their noses up at dog dinners. But meanwhile, last year, 2.31 million dogs were raised specifically to be killed for food. Not only that, they don't just eat the dog meat. Some of these animals in Korea eat a soup called gai soju. It's liquefied dog, marinated in herbs and consumed as a drink or soup. They should take those people and liquefy them, as far as I'm concerned. So you see, you get mad over Vic with the dog fighting. Of course it was disgusting. But you ought to look overseas, too, and see what kind of practices they have. It's like saying, oh, in Abu Ghraib, they put panties on his head. Take a look at what they're doing to each other. You don't need a leftist saying a word about the Sunnis blowing up a Shiite mosque. A Shiite blowing up a Sunni mosque. That they overlook. But they put a panty on a guy's head to get information out of him. They all went crazy. They got their panties in a bunch. The left wing are so sick. They're so demented. They're so dangerous. Don't call me on it. We all know what I think. So on MichaelSavage.com, we got the mother with the children, the mothers in Sicily with the son, and we put up Tony Soprano and Livia Soprano. I mean, I couldn't think of any other picture to put up. On the top left, we took down the picture of the refugees from Iraq. It's enough ugliness and tragedy. We put up a picture of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 beautiful girls, the rock star girls just sent to me from Southern California. The headline is Lucky Dog, Teddy's Cousin Cash with Rockstar Girls. Beneath that is the Skunjili. To the right, Mayor caters to homeless leeches with bagels, blueberries, and coffee. Then the Iraqi refugees arriving in Detroit. We don't know how many of them are terrorists or would-be terrorists. But leave that to Homeland Security. I'm sure they vetted all of the thousands that came in. I'm sure they gave them a big interview. Are you now or have you ever been a terrorist? Oh, no, 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 no. We're not. No, no terrorists. No. That's somebody probably from 2/3 of all prostate surgery unnecessary, says a new test. Democrats embrace gay agenda. Keep it up. I hope they keep embracing the old leftist socialist progressive agenda, because the more they go for the gay panic,
And the more they go for the homeless panic, and the more they go for the taxation panic, the better it is for America. The American people will come to understand that Hillary has not changed her spots. A leopard does not change her Leninist spots. Trust me on that one. So now they've embraced the gay agenda. Wait, keep going, keep going, keep going. Go ahead. Go ahead, keep going. Malaysian minister defends caning of prisoners as gruesome video appears on internet. We have the gruesome video on michaelsavage.com. So you can see what a peace-loving nation Malaysia is and how the Muslims treat people over there compared to how we treat prisoners over here. There are other stories. I'm exhausted already from reading them. I don't want to read any more. You can read them yourself because they're up for your pleasure, your listening pleasure. 1-800-449-8255. Mike, line 10, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, got to take issue with your calling the Koreans barbarians for eating dogs. We slaughter more cows and eat more beef than any nation on earth.
I understand, but a cow is an animal that is raised for slaughter. A dog is a pet.
You're letting your emotions run you on this one. Hindus would say that the cow is an animal that it was raised to be worshipped.
Well, you could say anything you want, but the Koreans who eat dogs are barbarians, as far as I'm concerned. And the Chinese who eat dogs are barbarians. They're throwbacks to another time, and it should be outlawed around the world.
What if you had a cow?
So you like eating dogs? That's where all the missing dogs are going, is into your cooking pot?
No, but I have eaten dog. I actually had the pleasure of having dog when I was at a Korean restaurant in Brazil, and it was well prepared.
Well, I think the owner of that restaurant should be taken out and treated like he treated the dog.
Well, I'm certainly not for the abuse of dogs, I think, but I think an animal was put on this earth.
Well, no, you're not for the abuse, just for liquefying them in soup, or maybe do you agree with the Korean method of beating them while they're alive because their adrenaline makes for better meat?
Absolutely not. I don't think that they should be.
So you're a humane dog eater. That's a real good step.
Yep.
So you wouldn't have pulled the teeth out of the Jews in the concentration camp. You just would have killed them and left the teeth in the gold. Now, you're a nice guy. There's a big difference between eating pets and eating livestock, I got to tell you. I know that the cow is a sentient creature. I understand that. Trust me, I understand that the cow is a sentient creature. But there's a huge difference in the intelligence quotient of a dog and of a cow. And there's a huge difference in the intelligence quotient of a monkey and a cow. I understand that as well. And what is the whole purpose of civilization? What does civilization mean? You want to get down to brass tacks? What is civilization? It's taking some of these more brutal instincts of man and subduing them for the sake of living in a society. You can't subdue the instincts of cruelty by killing a dog or beating him to death with a stick and eating him, as they do in some areas of China or in Korea. The only good news is that the younger Koreans think it's barbaric and sickening, and they won't do it. The latest poll shows that young Koreans think that it's barbaric. Let's see. It says that a recent survey by the Ministry of Agriculture showed that 59% of Koreans aged under 30 would not eat dog. They said they regard dogs as pets, not food. And they think it's a mark of another time. They think it's disgusting. They think it makes Korea look like a primitive backwater. Those who delight in eating dog and others who think it makes Korea look like a primitive backwater. 2.3 million dogs were tortured and killed in Korea in order to satisfy the barbaric custom of eating dogs. And in the past, they say dogs were beaten to death because they thought that the fear and adrenaline would make the meat more tender. You hear this? But they don't do that anymore. No, they don't do that anymore. But there are activists in Korea who are saying dogs are sensitive creatures. They know when another dog is being killed. Believe me, they know. Believe me, they know. So you got to understand that we live in the most humane society on the planet. It's just that the left, the illegal, illegitimate left in this country, is so sick and hates this country so much. See, most of them have never taken cultural anthropology. They're ignoramuses. You got to understand something. The leftists are fundamentally the uneducated of America, or the under... Yeah, I mean just what I said. You look at the movie stars, high school dropouts largely, maybe a few years in trade school. In the case of Sean Penn, he went to automotive school. I have nothing against automotive school. The guy is an idiot. He is a functional illiterate. So a moron like Sean Penn, who's a functional illiterate, who got lucky because he can ham up an act, goes to Argentina, to Venezuela, and Hugo Chavez. Oh, you know, Hugo Chavez is a man who hates America, hates this country with a passion. Why would you go to his movie unless you hate America with a passion? Okay? To these people, patriotism is an illness. That means they're mentally ill. That means we have a cultural civil war going on in this country. And the faster you recognize you're in a civil war and take sides, the better off you will be. Because I'm ready for the shootout. I can't take it anymore. We are in a social and cultural civil war in this country. The illegitimate, uneducated, doped-up left is are going to kill all of us unless you stand up to them. They're running wild in the streets. They smell victory. They smell victory, and they think that they're going to take away your gun, they're going to take away your child, take away your Bible. They are mistaken. They're going to trigger a shooting civil war in this country if they keep this up. And I don't want to see that day come. But you got to stand up to these psychopaths. You must. And the only way to do it is to yell back right in their face. Most of them will skitter away like the crabs that they are. How could a man who lives in a mansion in Ross, California with children embrace a dictator like Hugo Chavez? If he really put his money where his mouth was, he'd sell his house in Ross and he'd move to Venezuela or Cuba. Okay, and he's let his children work in a cane field instead of skateboarding around Ross, California like a spoiled brat. That's what he would do. They're frauds. They're all frauds, all of them. These were these loudmouth Hollywood phonies. But they're dangerous frauds because millions of dupes believe them. Millions of dupes like you believe that socialism is good for America, where they'll take away property from the rightful owner. Why doesn't Sean Penn give away his home in Ross, California to a bunch of socialist bums? Let him bring the bums from Golden Gate Park to Sean Penn's house. Then I'll believe a word he says. He could have it like Dr. Zhivago. He's in the film business. In Dr. Zhivago, after the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, they took the bums of Russia and they put them in people's houses. So there was once a beautiful home with 10 rooms. In every room, there were 4 people now from the streets of Russia. Why don't they start in Ross, California? Put 4 bums from Golden Gate Park in each room in Ross and let him embrace them and let him live in the basement of his own house. Then I'll believe a word that moron says. Yeah. Hugo Chavez he likes, huh? We can't get enough of them. So there's the Hollywood idiots for you. Dictator praises Hollywood traitor Sean Penn. Unbelievable to me how you people go to his movies. I don't understand you. Why do you support people who want to take away your life? And there's a bigger picture here. Getting back to the killing and eating of dogs. We live in the most humane society on earth. We give blueberries and muffins and coffee and hotel rooms to junkie bums in a park? And they beat up dogs and they eat them in China and they do that to dogs in Korea. And you don't say a word about it. And where are all the PETA people, the brave PETA people? Do you think they go to Korea and say a word? They'd be beaten to death like the dog was if they raised one word to the dog raiser there. In China, they'd come back with their bodies would disappear without kidneys in them. They're a bunch of cowards on top of it all. They're entitled to be cowards and they're entitled to be potheads. They're entitled to be crazy. But they're not entitled to drag this country over the cliff. Do you understand that? They can't do it. And the reason they're doing it is because of one word. There's one word about you, mister, listening to this show. The word is not indifference. The word is not blasé. There's something like that, but you don't know what the word is. 1-800-449-8255. West Palm Beach, Chaim, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, I agree that eating dog is maybe not in this society acceptable. However, what about rabbit, lapin, as they call it in France? I just had it when I was in Vegas. That's a pet, quote unquote, and that's.
I agree. I know rabbit is a very popular dish. It's a member of the rat family. You know that, don't you?
No, but I could see how it would be. But in any event, it is still.
Yeah, I understand. I won't eat rabbit. I can't stand the thought of eating a rabbit. It seems like it's too sensitive a creature to eat. I know. Low cholesterol. Yeah, right. Everything's low cholesterol. I understand that. I don't know. If I eat a rabbit, I see the animal in the dish. It looks like my dog without fur. I can't eat a rabbit either. I wouldn't eat a rabbit. I know it's a popular dish in France and Italy. I understand that. But it is a pet to some people. I get it. They eat guinea pigs in some restaurants, too, in France. They eat anything in France. What don't they eat in France? They put a little sauce on it. You know what they don't eat over there? That's why they wound up the way they are. Look at the society, what it became from eating everything that had that had a body movement. Look what became of the society. You know, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Go ahead. You are what you eat to a great extent. So they eat rabbits over there. They became a nation of rabbits. I'll be right back.
Savage.
the most humane, compassionate society the world has ever seen, which is why we're dying as a people. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Only more Bobs on our berries can save us. I've been saying that for many years, incidentally. Chicago, Joe, you think opposite, though. Go ahead, please.
I believe that at this point the country should become completely socialist. We're too far in right now.
Of course you believe it, because you are a loser or you're lazy and you want to take from others what they have earned.
No, I pay 45% in taxes and I get nothing. For 5 to 10% more, if they would actually pay for something, it'd be worth it. They're wasting everything now. If they could do something for us.
Well, wait a minute. You mean do something, but you want the government to take more of your money?
They're going to take more of our money. Who are you kidding?
Well, wait a minute. Now you're arguing both sides. Which side are you on? You want the government to take more money, or you want to take less of your money?
I would like them to take less of our money, but they're going to take more of our money. If they're going to take more of our money, then they should give us something for it. Finally, something, anything.
All right. So you're a frustrated taxpayer. You're not a complete wastrel. What is it you'd like the government to give you that you don't get, Joe?
Well, how about if I'm paying 50%, 45 to 50% of my taxes, a road that's drivable? Anything. We get nothing.
Yeah, well, my roads are broken here in California as well. I've got potholes everywhere, and I pay 11% of my income in state taxes. Where does it go? Whose noses are going up?
That's exactly right, Dr. Savage.
Well, no, the infrastructure is broken. The taxes are being misspent. We understand that. We agree, but I don't think socialism is the answer. I think less corruption is the answer. I think putting politicians in jail is the answer. I think forcing politicians to take a drug test once a month is the answer. How many of them are on Prozac or other psychoactive drugs which are affecting their thinking? How many of them are on drugs? Do we know the answer? Why shouldn't Congress be required to take a monthly drug test?
Savage.
All right, Savage Nation, tighten your seatbelts. The jailed U.S. border agents continue to be punished simply because they did the job we pay them to do. The president has put them on cold ice. 11 years for tracking down a drug dealer. I spoke to Jerome Corsi for an update on this situation.
Well, we just had this hearing in the House Foreign Affairs Committee on Ramos and Campion this week, and it was a major hearing. Johnny Sutton, the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, did not appear. And neither did the Department of Homeland Security, Richard Skinner, the Inspector General. And this really set off and upset Congressman Delahunt, a Democrat from Massachusetts, the chairman of the subcommittee, and the ranking member, Congressman Rohrabacher from California. Rohrabacher began his opening remarks by saying, "This case stinks to high heavens." Congress is extremely upset that neither Sutton nor the Department of Homeland Security showed, and Rohrabacher went into Sutton with a whole list of questions, many of which I've been asking. You know, how did Sutton know that Davila was unarmed, the drug smuggler? He got away that day to Mexico. Nobody ever apprehended him. He was not frisked at the scene. Why does Johnny Sutton say he was shot in the back? The medical evidence shows Davila was not shot in the back. He was shot in the side of the left buttocks. Bullet traversed his groin and ended up in his right thigh, and the doctor at the trial said that could have been consistent with a motion reaching back with his left hand as if he had a gun. That's what the officers testified.
Wow, that's something.
Well, Michael, the whole case of Ramos and Campion involves an incident in February 17, 2005. There was this drug smuggler named Davila, and he brought across something like 450 pounds of dope in a van, marijuana, near Fabens, Texas, and a whole bunch of Border Patrol agents chased the van through the town. When they got back, the drug dealer tried to escape and get back into Mexico. The van got caught up on this ditch, this levee by the border, and in a scuffle that resulted, Davila got away, but Ramos and Campion shot after him. And then some months later, Davila resurfaces and demands the prosecution of Ramos and Campion, and Johnny Sutton, our U.S. attorney, prosecutes the two Border Patrol agents, and they're in prison for 11 and 12 years each. And the drug smuggler got immunity, a border pass card, and a lawyer, and he started suing the Border Patrol for $5 million. And it's a case that has upset Congress and upset the American people tremendously.
This is crazy.
Well, after the House held its hearings, the House is focusing on several issues. Congressman Rohrabacher made it clear that the information the House has is that Mexico demanded the prosecution of Ramos and Campion, that the one of the major ways the government even found out who Davila was, because he escaped back into Mexico, was the Mexican consulate got a hold of Davila and began working with the Department of Homeland Security. There was no investigation going on against Ramos and Campion, and then suddenly the information surfaces from the Mexican consulate, and the Justice Department under Alberto Gonzalez snaps to attention. Johnny Sutton in El Paso, a close friend of the president, takes on the case, and Ramos and Campion end up in federal prison. What the House is doing now is demanding that Johnny Sutton and Richard Skinner, the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security, testify under oath. And Congressman Delahunt, the chairman of the Subcommittee of Foreign Affairs in the House, announced when Sutton didn't show that there's going to be hearings at the House Judiciary Committee and Sutton's going to be subpoenaed. And so, Michael, that's coming to a showdown. That's coming to Congress gunning now for Sutton and Rohrabacher raising issues, the ranking member of the House Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs, that Johnny Sutton was involved in prosecutorial misconduct, actually using the wrong statute, a statute that increases penalties, like if you commit a rape and use a gun, you get a 10-year maximum sentence for using a gun. But this to apply that law to two law enforcement officers, Michael, who were trying to do their duty at the border, is a complete miscarriage of justice. And Congressman Rohrabacher is angry about this and pursuing it hard.
What can the Savage Nation do about this?
President Bush is under a lot of pressure right now, especially after he did this commutation of sentence for Scooter Libby, who in the vice president's office. And, you know, Scooter Libby is no innocent guy altogether. He was Jack Abramoff's attorney, the influence peddler who's now in federal prison. And when Bush said that the crony, you know, Libby, gets his sentence commuted, not having a single day in prison, Congressman Rohrabacher was furious about this. The congressmen at the Foreign Affairs hearing this week were saying things like it infuriated them that Scooter Libby gets to have a cocktail with his wife at home, watching television, and Ramos and Campion, the two Border Patrol agents who were shooting after a fleeing drug smuggler, an admitted drug smuggler from Mexico, are spending 11 and 12 years in federal prison. In federal prison, the time they're serving is hard time. They're in solitary confinement, and these sentences are most than a serial killer might get sentenced to. I mean, these are severe sentences and hard time in solitary confinement. President Bush, though, Michael, has dug in. He said that Johnny Sutton is my good friend. He said this even in a town hall meeting when questioned in Nashville, Tennessee, here just a few days ago. President Bush is saying that Ramos and Campion are rogue cops that tried to hid the evidence. Well, this just isn't going to fly, Michael, because Congressman Rohrabacher has a Department of Homeland Security report, and we found it. We provided it to him at WorldNet Daily. And what that report says is there were 11 Border Patrol agents on the scene. They knew there was shooting. They all participated in picking up the bullets. Two or three of the officers were involved in that. There was no cover-up. The supervisors, as well as the other agents, nobody reported it. Johnny Sutton's just going around saying that they lied and covered up. It's just not true. The shooting was such that Davila got across the border. Nobody thought he was hit. Nobody thought anything had happened. And the penalty specified in the Border Patrol manual for failing to file a report that a weapon had been discharged is a 7-day suspension without pay. It's not an 11 or a 12-year sentence in prison and solitary confinement.
Oh, my God.
Dianne Feinstein does seem to have a handle on the Ramos and Campion. It is a tremendous injustice. And remarkably, President Bush can't get the picture. He can't see past the fact that it's wrong to put law enforcement agents in jail. I mean, I think it's exactly what I wrote in the late, great USA. President Bush is so committed to the Security and Prosperity Partnership to opening the borders with Mexico. Sometimes I think Bush thinks he's president of Mexico. But Dianne Feinstein and also Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, here you've got a Republican and a Democrat, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, they held hearings, and they both wrote a letter, the two of them signing it together. It's remarkable, Michael. One of the first times I've seen Dianne Feinstein, liberal from California, and Democrat, and John Cornyn, conservative from Texas, Republican, signing this letter together and demanding that President Bush commute the sentences and get out of jail Ramos and Campion. It's saying that if you can, to President Bush, if you can get your good friend Scooter Libby never to have to serve a day in prison, and he lied to the special prosecutor under oath, well, Ramos and Campion were trying to do their job, shooting at a fleeing drug smuggler, and Johnny Sutton is under a lot of pressure right now, the prosecutor, because his lies are apparent. It's now fully documented, and the Senate and the House have the information to prove that Davila, the drug smuggler, was involved in a second drug smuggling incident after Johnny Sutton gave him immunity, and Johnny Sutton kept that information from the jury, wouldn't even let the jury hear that information. So I think the pressure here, Michael, in Congress is building, and I think the next hearings that John Conyers is going to hold in the House Judiciary Committee are going to be a lot of fireworks, because Johnny Sutton's either going to come and testify under subpoena, or this is the Oversight Committee for the Department of Justice. You know, the very funding of the Justice Department is going to be put on the line if Sutton doesn't show up.
What other related topics should the Savage Nation know about?
You know, Michael, it's also a great point you're making that you're right, that we have seen more congressional resolutions. Tom Tancredo, congressman from Colorado, did put an amendment to the funding bill for the Justice Department, saying that if the Justice Department cannot use any more money, the Bureau of Prisons can't spend another penny to keep Ramos and Campion in prison. It's a remarkable amendment. It got passed overwhelmingly by the House, and it got sent on to the Senate. If it passes through the Senate, the Bureau of Prisons is going to have to get out of jail free now to Ramos and Campion, which is exactly what Tancredo intends. It won't be a pardon. It won't be a commutation of sentence. It'll just be Congress saying, we will not tolerate you spending another penny to keep Ramos and Campion in prison. I've never seen anything like it in years of following, in reporting and following Congress. And Congressman Tancredo, it shows how mad the House of Representatives is getting that Ramos and Campion are in prison, especially when Scooter Libby is out having cocktails with his wife with his sentence commuted.
Thanks for that update.
Michael, thanks again. It's always a great honor to be with you, and I truly admire your covering this Ramos and Campion case and bringing it to your audience. You're taking the lead, and we thank you for it. I'm honored to be with you, and I'll be happy to come back anytime you ask.
Savage.
Justice, a grave injustice has been done to the Border Patrol agents, and you have to ask yourself why the president won't come to their rescue. But then again, there's a lot of questions you ask about George Bush. Why doesn't he rescue the Marines like Colonel Cersani? Why is he taking the side of the enemy there? Why is he taking the side of the drug dealer here? There's no answer to these questions. Left and right are all amazed at George Bush, and I suppose that's the nature of the game. I have no answer to these questions. MichaelSavage.com, Lucky Dog, Teddy's Cousin Cash with Rockstar Girls. We'll keep it up for a while. Scungili below that. Mayor caters to homeless leeches with bagels, blueberries, and coffee. The Freedom of Speech DVD, only 246 of them remain. The Healing Children Naturally, only 358 remain of this printing. And Alzheimer's, only 845 remain. Special summer sale. Great, get it while you can. There are many topics I haven't gotten to and many I have gotten to. And you can see them all up on the website, and I'll get to them tomorrow. Let's go to the callers, though. I know many of you calling about eating dogs in Korea and China, and my statement that anyone who does that is a barbarian, and I stick to those words. I stick to those words. People who eat dogs are barbarians. Atlanta, Georgia, WSB Country K, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I think you're great. And I wanted to tell you a story about how one of my very good friends in the Army, Desi Downham, went to Korea and while in Itaewon, part of Seoul, purchased a dog and took him back, and they made him the mascot, and now Lucky lives in America with Duffy.
You mean the dog was in a cage ready to be eaten by one of the barbarians?
Yes.
Isn't that something? You know, it's one thing to try to, you know, save the dogs here in America, but they're not being abused unless it's a guy like using them for pit bulls and whatnot for fighting, dog fighting. But remember the ruckus last week about the dog fighting? That pales by comparison to dog eating in Korea and China, and yet we hear nothing about it. Why do we not hear anything about that? The answer is because the cowards in the media are afraid of being called racist if they were to call the Chinese and the Koreans who eat dogs barbarians. So instead they attack Mr. Vic because him they're not afraid of. Thanks for the call. And thanks to your friend for saving the dog. I guess you can only do one thing, you know. Dallas, Texas. Chad, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Howdy. I was calling professionals in the business of slaughtering livestock for human consumption in the U.S. have scientific proof that shows that the calmer you keep an animal, the better the quality of the meat is.
The calmer.
The more.
Well, the Koreans believed, and some still do apparently, that if you kill them, you beat them to death with a stick, their fear produces adrenaline, and the adrenaline makes the meat better. Can you imagine anything more barbaric than that?
Well, it's very barbaric, and it's also stupid because animals that are slaughtered and they're agitated or they're frightened or they're excited have an increase of lactic acid in their muscle, and that increase of lactic acid decreases the tenderness, decreases the palatability, and changes the color of the meat.
That's right, and humane slaughter is one thing. Criminal and torturous slaughter is quite another. You know, well, I know, I've read many scientific papers and spiritual papers on eating animals over my life. When I was younger, I toyed with vegetarianism for moral reasons, not for health reasons. I thought about vegetarian for health reasons and such. I've read an awful lot on it. Remember, I'm a doctorate in nutrition, and I also have degrees in anthropology. So you're not talking to someone who hasn't read on this subject. I've read an awful lot on it. I've come to my own conclusion, and I do not want to impose it upon you. We could talk about this forever on both sides of the story. That's one thing. I don't eat pets, I'll tell you right now. And killing a dog for food is a terrible, terrible thing to do. A dog is not the same as a cow. It's got to do with the level of intelligence and sensitivity. And that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's why you don't eat dogs, and that's why you do eat cows. Now, someone will argue that pigs are more intelligent than dogs, and they also shouldn't be eaten. All right. You can argue it any way you want. You get into the cultural. You see, what's happening here is because we have descended into this moral ambiguity in America where anything goes, we are now descending into cultural ambiguity where, again, anything goes and any cultural practice will suddenly be acceptable. Roasting a lamb, for example, in an apartment house in the Bronx is becoming increasingly common because we're getting people from the Middle East to roast lambs in an apartment house. And so we've also seen cultural defenses. Where a man from, in fact, in this case, it was from China, shot his wife, and he said he did it because she cheated on him. In his culture, in his village, in his society, a man is allowed to kill his wife if she cheats on him. He actually skated. It was in one of my books. I have the exact case in the book, and I forget which one of my books I wrote it up in. So because of the moral equivalency, we're now getting cultural equivalency, which means we are descending to the level of barbarians ourselves. That's exactly what it means. We are degenerating culturally, we're degenerating psychologically, we're degenerating morally, and now we're going to degenerate culturally, where third world practices, which we have considered to be the acts of barbarians and uncivilized, will suddenly be seen as, oh, ho-hum, they do it there, therefore we can do it here. That's exactly what's going on, and I wouldn't be surprised if people don't eat dogs in this country, only they hide it from the public, you know? 1-800-449-8255. WOR, New York. Jerry, you've been holding fire away. What's on your mind?
Michael, we are what we eat, and we're certainly, we are what we drink. I'm a musician. I get to travel around the country, and I find I have problems with allergies. As you had mentioned with the wines, about May, I have to stop drinking any sorts of wine until fall, probably because of the sulfates and sulfites.
The same thing, right, because of the sulfites. You're getting a reaction that triggers your allergies or makes them worse. So what's the question, Jerry?
Well, Additionally, I noticed, because of my travel, local beers, different types of local beers throughout America give me the same type of reaction.
Isn't that something? Well, let me tell you quickly on sulfites. Sulfites occur naturally on grape skin. It's a natural chemical found in grape skin that inhibits the growth of mold. I just want to start with that statement, okay? However, when you add metabisulfites to wine, it can trigger allergic reactions in people. Certain countries use zero or very small or minute amounts of sulfites. For example, in New Zealand, they use a very small amount of sulfites. I can drink New Zealand white wine without a headache. Do you know that? Even in allergy season, I found that the Marlboro white wines are superior to any for me in terms of allergic reactions. Red wine in the springtime, I can't drink from anywhere on earth. I cannot touch it. Now, that has something to do with something other than the sulfites are causing these reactions in me. Did you know that Chianti wines, for example, will trigger reactions in people? Do you know why? There are certain components found in Chianti wines that are not found in other wines. So this is a very complex story, Jerry. There's another answer, which is don't drink at all.
Exactly. But
alcohol per se suppresses your immune system during allergy season. It's not good to drink alcohol at all, Jerry. You can do without it also. Have a beer. I drink German beer. German beer does not have any of these chemical compounds in them, particularly German beers from Bavaria. You know, the Bavarian purity law. They do not use any of these toxic additives. Well, anyway, that's it for the show. 1-800-449-8255 is finito. No use for it now. MichaelSavage.com is good all night long. Go on and see the luckiest dog on earth, the rock star dog.
Savage.